Patrick Royce, I'd like to talk about perhaps the greatest gift of the college football season, and it's not even here yet. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, man. Does it get any better than this?
Does not, because Jimbo is probably the number one cheater out there. And Nick is very upset because now he's going to have to upgrade his cheating to keep up with, you know, you're the number two recruiting class in the country. Let it go. Okay. You're going to be pretty good. So, but yeah, Nick, and then Nick's saying, well, I wasn't talking about, I didn't say they were cheating. I said they were using the system. So what is the NCAA going to do? They cannot take these collectives and make them go away suddenly, can they? They're going to have 25 lawsuits. It is open season. It is the wild, wild west. And here's the other part of that. And these collectives are going to be big guys with money in town, right?
Yes.
And that money that used to go to help pay off the $120 million or whatever we owe on the building mm-hmm. over there and all mm-hmm. those other facilities, you can't go get $200,000 from this guy for players and then say, hey, I need another $200,000 for the building. The finance now, luckily for the Big Ten, if you're in the Big Ten, they're gonna get a new TV contract that'll pay all the bills. So, you know, they won't have to worry about that when the new contract hits in, because apparently sports is all that cable and some of these things have left. So to get people to watch anything other than Netflix and Apple and all that stuff. And so they're going to get the Big Ten. You'll be okay in the Big Ten, but all around the country, what are these schools going to do? They're absolutely out of luck. And every time you get a good player in any place below the top 30 in the country, right? I mean, Wake Forest gets a good player. What are his odds of playing 4 years at Wake Forest? Very minimal, aren't they?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And,
you know, Montana State had a great – this quarterback from North Dakota State, which he went 7-0 last year, Quincy Patterson, and he went into the portal, and he ends up at Temple. North Dakota State had beat Temple by 4 touchdowns. What the hell is he going to Temple for, you know? He gets to go 3-9 in the Big East or whatever the hell they're playing in. It's idiotic, not the Big East or ACC or whatever it is. Why would he want to go to Temple? Stay where you are. If so many of these guys have hit the portal and they got nowhere good to go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And here's my question too. So if I take an NIL deal from a school, do I get all of that up front? Because if I do, I'm probably going portal next to double dip.
Yeah. Well, there's a deal. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. The one nice thing about getting transfers who aren't graduates is they can't leave. You know, you have a more serious commitment from a transfer, underclassman transfer, than you do from a freshman, right?
Correct.
Freshman's unhappy or not making enough money. This gopher running back freshman that left, I don't know, did he get a job yet? That kid that they had a lot of hopes for, the freshman that left and went into the portal, apparently he was hoping for an NIL deal.
I think they had two guys at that position. I thought they both got picked up eventually.
They landed someplace. But
I think so.
You know, they're going to places like Rutgers and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I'll say one thing. The Gophers have been pretty quiet about the collective and the whole what they got going behind the scenes. That doesn't mean they don't have something going behind the scenes. They may just be smart enough not to brag about it. So somebody like Wisconsin, when this thing first started, they immediately came out and said, we had a system and we're going to help the players and blah, blah, blah. We're going to oversee it. But the NCAA is absolutely out of luck, aren't they? They're just done,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, I was talking again to somebody in the business, that the big source of money is the NCAA basketball tournament, and there's suggestions that they're going to break away and blah, blah, blah. But if the top 150 break away, mm-hmm. that takes away St. Peter's. That takes away, you know, I think the appeal of the tournament, at least the first weekend, is having these nobodies, right? And having St. Peter's and stuff like that. So what do they do with these secondary. There's now 358 Division I basketball programs. St. Thomas and seven others are waiting to be official, eligible for the tournament.
Right.
But there's 358. There's eight of them waiting to move up more. And I think you need them, don't you? You don't need 358, but you need 150 potential Cinderellas, don't you? I mean, those, you know, because most of them aren't going to make the tournament, and most of them are going to get beat when they make it. But the appeal of the tournament is that first weekend is when somebody scares the bejeebers out of a big school or even beats them.
Pat, I was talking to a buddy yesterday, raging Gopher football homer. Loves him some PJ Fleck and loves him some Gopher football. And mm-hmm. He was telling me he's laying the biggest bet he's ever laid on the Gophers' win total for next season. So right now, the Gophers are at 7 wins, according to Vegas, to get the 7 wins in 2022. Now, they should be able to obviously get 7, and
They got 3 walkovers in the non-conference, right?
Yeah.
Don't they have 8 home games? I think they got 8 of the... They got an enormous... Now, all the non-conference games...
That sounds right.
And then this is the year they get the extra home game in the Big Ten too. So they got 8 home games.
Yeah, all three of those.
I might go over to St. Croix Casino and try to make that bet myself. I'll bet on them to win. I don't think they can lose to Bowling Green again or Eastern Illinois or whoever the hell.
No Ohio State, no Michigan either, which helps. So I mean, if they don't get the 8 wins, I mean, my God, then I think Paul PJ is definitely on the old hot seat there.
Well, here's the other thing. And enjoy the West Division while you can. It looks like the whole division thing's blowing up. Penn State has raised enough hell and some of the other schools that what's going to happen if they go like they should, you'll get 3 rivals, right? Iowa, Wisconsin, and in the Gophers' case, it should be Michigan. But I'm sure the Gophers will say, they get Northwestern.
Exactly. We hate the Wildcats.
We first played Northwestern in 1896. Let's keep Northwestern as our rival. But the 3 traditional rivals of Michigan would be the third one. And didn't they, when they first went to this system, wasn't Michigan one of their protected rivals? I think it was Wisconsin and Michigan were going to be there when they were in the same. We're going to be their protector. Or Michigan was in there.
Wisconsin wasn't going to be, right? Or Iowa wasn't going to be. There was somebody who was out as a protected at first, and it was very surprising.
But when we were the legends, right? Were we the legends? We were the legends.
Leaders.
When we were in the legends, wasn't Michigan in the
division? They probably were,
yes. In the division?
I think you're right. There's somebody that was out of it that was shouldn't have been, but yes. But you know what, Pat? Nobody deserves the problems that college sports is currently facing, like college sports. I love it. They deserve this.
There's no more arrogant group of human beings than big-time college football coaches.
Yes.
Much worse than NFL coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Belichick would be good old Bill in college football. Good old God, he's a good guy, isn't he, compared to most of these jackasses. And Saban's got everything but the tower down. He could be bare, man. He could be down there in the tower sleeping, and he keeps cranking them out. But I think they lost a bunch of transfers too, and he probably doesn't like that, right? Wanted to have that third teamer. So anyway, say I got some really good news today, though.
Yeah,
I just said this on Twitter. I was walking down driving down Medicine Lake, and there's a school there, and I think it's a middle school. But this kid came out of school. It didn't look like school's in session. I think they might be out or they're winding it up with tests or something. Greatest afro I've seen since the 1977 UNLV Running Rebels. This kid had to bring back the afro. I love the afro in basketball. And nothing more fun than watching that UNLV team in the late 70s with 5 helicopters going up and down the court, and get rid of the 3, bring back the afro fast break. That's what I say. I love that kid. What a great afro. And what happened to it? How come it died off so quickly? It only lasted about 10 years, right?
The baseball ones were absolutely the greatest. Oscar Bake McBride, I believe, had one. It was great.
One of my five favorite Oscar baseball stories of my coverage years was 1976, and I've told this story 100 times. The Twins opened Yankee Stadium, the reopening of Yankee Stadium. And they had Joe Louis there, and I mean, every Dempsey and Red Grange and all these people. But Oscar's the hero, right? He did hits a home run or wins the game with a double or something. Oscar wins the game. So I go to the Yankee clubhouse and there's eight people around. And I finally say, you think they're going to call this place the house that Oscar rebuilt? And he looks at me and says, what the F you talking about, man? He did that. And, but then Oscar became, loved me a few years later. Because for some reason I was in a group and he was bragging about himself. And I said, I'll never forget. I was at the game when you hit that home run over the right field bleachers in Yankee in Met Stadium and almost left the, you know, back there in right field, almost left it. I said, I was at that game. That was something. He says, yay, you tell all these MFers about that. I've been telling them about that. They don't believe me telling them about that home run.
That's quite a poke, too.
He was a character, but that was probably the best Afro in baseball. But Bake McBride was close, too. But the hat kind of, you know, you couldn't have the great Afro in baseball because he had to get the hat on. Right?
You can just sort of get the hat on it, though.
You got to have a...
Like, I saw some great... There's like four or five great baseball cards from back then with the guys attempting to get the hat to balance on it.
So I... suggested Larnick hit a home run last night at Wichita, so I don't know if they've made a change yet, but I would think you'd run him up here and get poor old Jose Miranda out of here. There's a certain Twins group now that has been created that is trying to defend everyone, including Miranda, because he's got a bunch of doubles. He's hitting 94. He's hopeless. And he's a hack in the field. But we'll get people to defend him. What is wrong with you people? Stop being so positive, you jackasses.
The gatekeeping that happens, Pat, in the Twins community, it's different than any other one. It's even more different than the Vikings one. Like, the Kirk fans are just the Kirk fans. They're not even team defenders. They're Kirk defenders. But the Twins one, it's absurd, man. I'm young, right? I'm 29. I've never seen anything like this. This is the craziest thing to me.
And they're now 7 years, but defend the analytical approach, right? Isn't that it? Isn't that where what's the motivation?
I think that's where it starts. Yes. Yeah. I think but the Paddock trade, my favorite now is, well, you don't understand the Paddock trade. Yeah, the Mets passed and said no thanks, but the Twins got a controllable
reliever.
First of all, it's his second Tommy John. So there's no guarantee he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, close to what they thought. I just love this whole stuff. Oh, you guys don't understand the trade, and they got Pagan, and then they got a prospect. It's like, yeah, but they got a guy. And they supposedly, I keep coming back to this. If you want to win in 2022, are you telling me that your doctor said, well, this Paddock's guy, his arm's going to fall off, and you said, we don't care. We got team control.
Yeah, we got team control. Taylor Rogers. Last night, four out save, 15 for 16, and an ERA of 52, but we still have people defending the trade, even though the other guy won't pitch until, you know, next August, if at all, and who cares? He's not that good anyway. So, hey, I got some guy banging on my door down here. He might be trying to tell me that he's got to come and get the pool open. So,
do you want to run?
Do you want to go get that?
It's been a treat. I could stay here and come back in a minute, but I got to see why he's trying to break my front door down.
Go ahead and figure that out. It is remarkable, though, just with the Jets. I don't understand it. I know you and I are about to have a positive conversation on the Twins because everyone thinks we're so GD negative and we're going to have a positive conversation about this first place ball club, but it is pretty remarkable.
Well, I've actually been on Twitter going back and forth with some people. And I will say this, I think that there is some very good baseball dialogue as well. So like there are certain people who are just convinced, oh, the Paddock trade's a great trade still. It's like, well, actually it's not a great trade. But then there is some good back and forth from people that disagree with us on things, but it's not like you're wrong, I'm right. It's like, well, here's what I think, here's what you think, and then you can actually have a normal, rational discussion. So I think there's a difference between that, but you're right, Dex. There is a weird, and I don't get it, there's this weird gatekeeping now that goes on with the Twins, and I think Pat's right. I think it starts with guys who have decided Falvey and Levine are right, uh-huh. and like how they approach things is right, and that is just going to be that. And what I'm really curious about is, does this result in a new Vikings fan who does the same with Kwesi? You know, because right. I mean, he's going to bring a totally different, and it's going to be intriguing, but totally different thought process. Are we going to see these fans now surface there? So Patrick,
happiest day of the year is in September when they close the pool.
Yep.
The most apprehensive of the year is when they open it.
And that's today,
late this year, but is the heater working? Is the pump working? Is everything working? It's been pretty good for about 3 years, but usually you open her up and it's a quick $2,000 for some damn thing. So anyway, don't ever get a pool.
No, don't good worry enough. About that. I will never have a pool. I will never have a pool. I barely have a house. It's small enough that I don't consider it, you know, so no, I won't.
I know where you can buy one with a pool if you're interested.
No, that's thank
a,
you.
When you get married and kids, I know where you can buy a house with a pool. It'll be great.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The pool's great. As Suits says, you know, it goes back to the mid-70s. Suits says the only thing original there is the hole, and he's right about that. Everything else is everything else is different anyway. So,
Pat, your thoughts on Rory with the great charge on round one? Do you think he's able to hold them off and get a championship on Sunday?
How are the Southern Hills greens? It depends upon putting, because he's not a putter anymore. But I hope so. He's it's been a long time since he won one, and it also kind of confirmed my theory. Now he might shoot a great round today, Tiger, but my theory that the place where he can compete is the Masters, because if you know the course, which he does better than anybody, it's a fairly easy golf course. You know, there's no rough. You can't, unless you hit it in the trees, mm-hmm. you can't shoot a big number there. There aren't that many bogeys out there unless you three putt or something, which he did on the last day. But the normal setup, tough golf course that they have for the majors is going to be tough. Now, St. Andrews, he might play good there because that's if the wind's not blowing, everybody's 20 under. And if the wind's blowing, they're two over. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't, your pick looks good though. Wasn't your second pick Zalatoris?
I didn't have Zalatoris, but I did tell you about my fat guy Lowry, and he's two under right now through five. He's making a little charge here. Yeah,
I saw him hit one shot yesterday and hit it right in the middle of a pond.
Yes.
Watching. He jumped one in, and I believe he used an Irish invective there, too, when he hit that one. It sounded like, it's hard not to root for him, man.
Yeah, he's a great story.
Him winning in Ireland was just unbelievable.
It was incredible.
So Daly's playing? Did I see Daly out there yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's a former champion.
Two under.
This is the greatest thing in sports history.
Southern Hills, last time they were there, Tiger won, in August, 105 degrees. He was staying out in the country at the casino. Never came into practice at Southern Hills. They had a picture of him in the paper. Where Southern Hills is at Tulsa or Oklahoma City? I can't remember.
I think it's in Tulsa.
Tulsa. He never played the golf course before the tournament started.
Yeah.
But they had a picture in the Tulsa paper of him playing the casino golf course, riding in a cart with his shirt off, just looking in a pair of shorts, just looking enormous. That was his tune-up, and he played pretty good the first or second day.
God, he's great.
But that's when he was in full. You know, drinking, hell raising, gambling, crazy mode too. He ended up fading, but he was our story for a couple of days there. He was what a beauty though. I told you that one of my favorites is at Congressional. You covering the U.S. Open at Congressional, and I'm following Daly's group, and he finishes the ninth hole, and you got to walk all the way across to the 10th tee. You got to walk in front of the clubhouse, and they have this path down there for media and fans, and then the players go up there, and they're playing, they got a threesome. And you get down there, and there's three caddies and three bags and two players. Daly took a left, went through the clubhouse and left. It was hot. He wasn't playing good. He was just, and his caddy, he didn't tell his caddy. He just left. They saw him.
Oh, he didn't even tell his caddy.
Went through the clubhouse and left. No, his caddy. The caddy was waiting for him down on the 10th tee, which was 100 yards from the 120 yards from the ninth tee to the ninth green to the 10th tee. You walk down there and we're all.
There was a guy, Pat.
There's a story here because this isn't a bathroom break because he's
a guy covering the tournament followed Daly through the round yesterday, the entire thing.
Heaters.
And charted the heaters, the Diet Cokes, like the Skittles and waters. The waters, zero.
Man after my own heart.
The Diet Cokes, numerous.
Oh, yeah.
I think 21 smokes. I think he had 21. Just almost a whole pack of smokes or something. He's incredible. He's a beaut.
Us fatties like our Diet Coke, man.
Yes, they do.
We think it's doing something for us. But
it's good for you. It clearly is working.
I got to go retrieve a soulmate here. So
All right, Patrick.
Thanks.
Talk to you Monday, boys.
Thank you, Pat.